Attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law with Attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hello, welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. I'm only licensed in Florida, so if you're watching from anywhere in the world or United States, I'm licensed in Florida, but we take legal questions, and I give you the very best answer I can based on Florida law. If you have a question about wills, trusts, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, health care, surrogates, living wills, problems, just problems of any sort that you need some direction and maybe some hope to get out of a situation, all you have to do is to call the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. I've been host of Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law, the radio show for 35 years, longest-running show in Florida, I believe. And I was told by a national radio host that I met this week that he thinks it's the longest-running radio program, or legal program anyway, in America. Not too many attorneys or any professionals have been a host of a continual show, same format, same host, same name of the show and everything for that long. But I'm glad to be here and glad to be your host today and glad to try to answer questions. It's a 52-minute straight run of no commercials, just you and I talking and listening. And you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Had a couple of speaking engagements this week. I love speaking engagements. There's no fee for me to come out and be a speaker at your group. I was in Solavita, which is a planned community in Kissimmee, Poinciana area, a little bit east of Haines City, Winter Haven, Claremont, but west of Orlando. So that's basically where the area is. And I was a planned community, have a nice little talk up there in their meeting room and answered a lot of questions. One of the questions there was that I will just talk about briefly while I'm waiting for callers to get lined up here. By the way, you have a listening to a live show on Saturday morning. You have a toll-free number to call at 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, 877-943-9673. Give us a call. You got a problem that surfaced this week or something you've just been worried about for a long time and don't have an answer, like some direction? If I can help you, I certainly will. If I don't know the answer, I have many, many resources to where I can find a way to help you somehow. Again, the toll-free number is 877-943-9673. So what do you do? One of the biggest questions I've had is my Florida will over the career of my radio shows here. Is my Florida will good in Florida? Is my out-of-state will good in Florida? Or is my out-of-state trust good in Florida? And that question came up during my speaking engagement. And the answer is, the famous old legal answer, it kind of depends. What we do is we review documents at no charge for clients who come in with documents from other states or documents from a long time ago and review them and advise the client whether or not this would work in Florida. Florida does have a few different rules as far as witnessing go, and you can do a document called self-proving. If you have a trust, unless it's from one of the community property states like California, Texas, and so forth, you can usually amend the trust. If you're in one of the 40 common law states, you can usually amend the California trust or an out-of-state. If you're in a common law state, we can amend it. If you're in a community property state like California, Texas, we usually do what's called a restatement. We'll come back to that in a little bit later. Let's go to Ron in Lakewood Ranch.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Great. And you?
Good, good. Listen, quick question. If you have certificates of deposit and you have beneficiaries, say you either have your wife or your husband, but could you also put on that you're a trust as a beneficiary instead of having it in the trust to start with? Or do I make sense here?
Yes. Yes, you could have the trust as a beneficiary. The advantage to having a trust and having it in the trust now, though, instead of naming the trust the beneficiary, would be if you had a stroke or an accident or became incapacitated, the trustee, the successor trustee you've named in your document, could immediately take over manage it for your benefit while you're living, whereas anything with the beneficiary on it, nothing really happens until death.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. It's just that, you know, when you have several CD certificates, to change the wording on it, you have to go back in to several different places and change all of that into a name of a trust. Is that correct?
Yes, that's the. It's not that hard though. And you have, once you create the trust, you have a whole lifetime to do that. People ask me, when do I have to do that? The answer generally is before death. But don't.
Okay.
Yeah, but don't.
So then, if you renew or upon renewal, at that point, you can just say, I want to change the name of what I'm putting it into trust instead of a personal name.
You say that again?
If taking what you just said, when you renew the CD...
Yes, you could.
At that point, you can change the name to the trust.
You could.
I see. Okay.
And some people I had a client this week who talked about checking accounts. Should the name be on the checking account? And I said, yes. And the guy's wife spoke up and said, well, he's so cheap, he's just going to wait till he has to reorder checks before he changes. But anyway, yeah, the purpose of creating a trust is to put things inside the trust and register them. It doesn't have to be done immediately the week you do the trust or anything. You can do it within time, but make sure you have a plan to do it and don't delay, because if you died with it out in the trust, you go several years and it never got into the trust, then it would go through probate.
I got that. And I assume that would also cover a treasury bill, too?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, but some of the treasury bills, they're probably the most difficult thing to get in a trust. So a lot of clients who put the majority of their financial accounts in a trust, in the treasury bills, if they have a paid-on-death beneficiary on those, for example, they'll they'll just leave those alone and not let them just avoid probate because you had a beneficiary on there.
Well, then I would take your guidance. I've been in to talk to you once. I said I would come back. I will, but I'm a procrastinator, but I will get there.
All right. Looking forward to seeing you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. And if you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. I'll be more than glad to help you if I can. I had another speaking engagement this past week. I was at an American Legion meeting, vets and heroes type of appreciation meeting on 9/12, the day after 9/11. And that was a great event. That was hosted by Brandon Rimes, who many of you may know because he has a radio show here, The Quarterback Show. He's a real estate broker. And he hosted and got the show running. And Captain Matt Bruce was one of the speakers. Now, I've, heard about Captain, the Captain, they call him. And he has a radio show 6 days a week from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., except on Saturday mornings he leaves at 5 a.m. But 6 days a week he's got a program during the middle of the night. And he's a syndicated radio host what's on 400 or 500 stations, I believe. And quite the character. He's a former vet. He was active in the 9/11 rescue operation. In fact, he's gotten some awards for the number of people that he saved. And we were given a presentation to vets about VA planning and Medicaid planning and estate planning and all that, and I got to be one of the speakers on that. So I really enjoyed that. Enjoyed meeting the captain. The captain has invited me to be on his radio show. The only problem with that, it's 2 in the morning to 6 in the morning. So I told him I'd get up earlier one morning, maybe be on at 5 or 5:30. But anyway, if you need a speaker this coming week, I have a presentation Monday morning for the city of Lakeland employees. They have an opportunity for me to speak there. And I just love going out to give talks. There's no fee for that. So if you need a speaker, you can call our office with a toll-free number at the office at 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. Hey, phone lines are open right now here on Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. You're listening on multiple stations around Florida. We're broadcasting today from Tampa. And Tampa is the host of 570, 910, 860, and 930. All of those radio stations are carrying the program. Also, 90.3 FM out of Central Florida is carrying the program. WLVF carried it for a long, long time. The community station 96.3 in Sun City Center carries the program. 600, The Answer out of Jacksonville carries the program. We have multiple other stations that have FM components of the AM signal as well. And hey, we're just glad to be here. We have a radio show there in Crystal River area. Also, a classic rock station there in Crystal River carries the show. So a lot of different formats carry Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Next week, we will have another additional station carrying the program, and I won't mention the call letters of that quite yet, but that's a station in Clearwater who's going to be carrying the program. Phone lines are open. Let me give you the number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, and more than glad to be here. I'm more than glad to be of service to you to try to figure something out, give you a little peace of mind, answer your legal questions. So we're talking, I had a question this week at one of the seminars that what assets do you put into your trust and what assets do you keep outside of your trust? Are there any assets you don't put in the trust? Well, normally you do not put retirement accounts in a trust because they have a named beneficiary. So the retirement accounts, you have, say you name your spouse as a beneficiary and then you name your kids. The only reason that would come into a trust is if you didn't want to give them the option on what to do with the retirement account. You know, some people cash out retirement accounts immediately. If you want to force them to stretch it out and take it over time, you would have it come into the trust and let the trust do that. Same thing with death benefits on insurance. You normally just have beneficiaries. That avoids probate. If you want to stretch out the distribution, have it come into the trust. Why would you want to stretch it? Well, maybe you have financially kids that are not financially responsible. And they couldn't manage the money to get a larger pop of money all at once they've never been used to. So you can give it to them over time, stretch it. You might have addictions, or you might have government benefits, special needs. You have a lot of different reasons why people might want to stretch a distribution. Let's go to David in Bradenton.
Hi, Joe. How are you today?
I'm doing great. And you?
Good, thank you. Joe, this is kind of a crazy question. I guess it's not about the normal topic. I have a friend who is a renter down here in Bradenton. Her hot water heater blew on her and ended up mold all over the apartment and so on and so forth. Her caregiver and I am not on the lease, and they weren't responding, so I called their corporate headquarters and had them address the issue. They asked us to leave the apartment while they fixed it, and they were going to pay for the time spent away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They also gave her a letter saying that because I was not on the lease, that I could no longer stay there with her.
So you actually live there with her as a caregiver?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
But because my name's not on the lease...
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so somebody, an attorney would have to review the lease, and the attorney might be able to get you added to the lease or get you say that you're qualified to stay there as a caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
You're not an additional tenant, so to speak, but they certainly, depending on what the lease says, they might consider it that way. Did they just say you couldn't stay there, or did they say you'd have to change the lease and pay a little more for two people to live there instead of one?
No, that is an option, but what had happened was the corporate called them down. I had asked corporate not to talk to them until they talked to me, which they did not do. And as of Thursday afternoon, they came and said to me, "Did you call corporate?" I said, "Yes, I did." And they started swearing at me and getting upset with me. And I was like, "This water heater has been broken since last Friday. Here it is." Well, this was Wednesday, I'm sorry. So it was like 5 days without this water, and they gave her 2 5-gallon buckets to flush her toilet with while they shut the whole system off, and it just got crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And because of my building background, holding a construction supervisor license, which I had for years, I understood that this was not that big of an issue, that she should have had this happen. With this water heater. I don't know what to say, but I do know that I need some direction because my girlfriend, who's bipolar, who really, well, she's not my girlfriend per se, I'm just saying she's mm-hmm. my friend who's a girl, who's bipolar, flipped out and started getting all nervous, and now she doesn't want to go back to the apartment, and they haven't called her to say that it's okay for her to go back in. And communication skills are
they paying for her to stay somewhere else?
They're saying that they will compensate her for staying somewhere else.
Okay.
No, she's spending money. I just went back to the apartment this morning to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean,
all right.
It's
well,
a hot water.
All right, so if your main question is whether you can live there with her, an attorney would have to look at the lease.
Mm-hmm.
To advise you whether or not that would be possible. You might think about getting a doctor's letter that she cannot live alone and needs a caregiver.
Well, yeah, I pursued that with her psychiatrist, and mm-hmm. when I went to the firm, he has left the state to go to another job, so now I've got to go through this whole process.
Yeah, you might have to do it again.
Which is not a big deal with me.
Mm-hmm.
But my concern is more of the response and her financial situation with these people because they're using her electricity and stuff to do all this.
All right, well, David,
so
start with getting an attorney to look at that lease and then mm-hmm. have a sit down with the attorney.
Yeah, well, that's my point. Who would you recommend? What should I do as far as an attorney is concerned in this area?
Well, if you don't have one, call my office, and one of my attorneys deals in matters something like that and could possibly help you. His name is Jim. But
okay.
If you call the office, we'll get you hooked up with him for a discussion anyway.
Okay. Now, can you just give me that number again for your office? Because you said it was open this morning. You said it was 877.
No, that's the radio station. The office number is 727-586-3306.
3306.
Yes, sir.
Can I repeat that back to you? Because it doesn't seem right. It's 727-56336.
727-586.
586, okay.
3306.
3306. Okay, thank you very much.
All right,
I'll
David.
Call him right now. All right,
thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Let's go to David. If you call right now, you're going to go to voice message, though. So let's go to David and Clyde. Or Clyde and Winter Haven, I'm sorry.
Good morning.
Hey, Clyde.
quick question for you this morning, sir. I appreciate you taking my call. Just a real estate question. My wife and I have been married for like 38 years now. We're getting on in some years. We have property. We live in a mobile home. Her name is on the deed. She bought the actual land before we were married.
Mm-hmm.
Both of our names are on the mobile home itself that's on the property.
Mm-hmm.
Should something happen to her, do I have a legal option there as far as what to do with the land, or do I need to go and have my name put on the land deed itself?
Yeah, I would. That'd be a deed from wife to wife and husband, and that would keep it out of any probate process upon her death if she would die first.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I definitely would. And you might want to consider even putting the deed to create a trust. Where do you both own most of your other assets jointly?
Yes, sir. Everything else is joint.
Well, you could create you could create a joint trust to avoid probate, and you could have her sign a deed from her to both of you as trustees, put it inside the trust so there'd be no probate upon the second death as well.
Okay. All right, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Hey, we're about halfway through the show. If you'd like to call, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, and we'd be more than glad to try to help you. So what happens if you have, piggyback off of that question there, what happens if you have real estate in a different state? You have a Florida property and a property somewhere else. Can you put a property in another state into a trust? Yeah, the advantage of trust is if you own multiple properties in multiple states, you're going to have multiple probate fees because probate is situated where it's located. So if you have a Florida home or a Florida piece of real estate, a Florida condo, anything, and you have a property in North Carolina or Minnesota or California, then if you're a Florida resident, that property in the other state is going to have to go through probate in that state. So you can have multiple probates, multiple probate attorneys, and multiple probate fees. And if you put all of it into one living trust, you can avoid probate everywhere. Let's go to John in Sarasota.
Yeah, hi, Joe. Thanks for taking my call. Excuse me. I've got a situation here where the city or the county is coming after me for my cars parked on my private property. And they wanted to be licensed and insured, and I'm waiting for parts on one of the cars. The other car is restoring. But it's parked on private property. I mean, where do these control freaks get off telling me I have to license my car and have it insured and they're not driven?
Well, you got a letter or something saying?
Yeah, I'm supposed to go to court for a hearing down in Venice here in a few weeks. And, I'm just on social insecurity. And I can't afford to hire attorneys and all that stuff. So where do they get off telling people what they can do with their own private property? And all the other all right, in the neighborhood.
Does the letter by any chance state a statute that they're relying upon to have the authority to make you have a license plate for a car that's not operative?
Yeah, and I don't recall the statute, Joe.
Why don't you call me at the office or email me at the office, and I'll review the statute with you and see how it applies.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, I don't understand why my cars are public nuisance and all the other trucks, RVs, trailers and everything, boats.
Well, do you have a way to fax me the letter or scan and email me the letter or have somebody do that for you?
Yeah, I don't have a fax, Joe, but I could call you then Monday. But I appreciate your help, and you're really a blessing to everybody that listens to your show.
Yeah, if I can't help you, I have an attorney in mind that does a lot of traffic automobile issues like that, licenses, tickets, and everything. And I can at least talk to you a little bit and then give you his name.
I sure appreciate it, Joe. Thanks so much for taking my call, and you have a blessed weekend.
All right, you too. Thanks.
God bless you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Tony in Middleburg.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Phippen.
Good morning. Hey, half of our audience, at least half, is not going to know where Middleburg is, but I do because I drive by there on my way to the Jacksonville office, and I come up through Gainesville, through 17, right through Middleburg. In fact, my wife and I like to go to Middleburg, Virginia. So we have a little joke. I said, you want to go to Middleburg today? She knows I'm passing by Middleburg in Florida, but little joke there. Renee, what can I do for you?
Yeah, it's a question, I guess, kind of on employment applications. You work someplace roughly 6 weeks and you decide to leave that position, is there a requirement to list that as an employment on your next application or job application? Or is that considered being untruthful or in some way?
No, I think the application is going to ask you for all of your previous employment for the last 5 years or some date they might use. It might not be exactly five, but I think you're going to get a bad recommendation from this company you worked for 6 weeks for?
No, not necessarily. It just seems a little unstable. You go somewhere for 6 weeks and then you decide to leave. Just don't want to give that impression either.
Well, I think you would be obligated to... how many other jobs have you had in the last 5 years?
Well, this is actually not relative to me, but my daughter. This is actually her first post-college job, if you will.
I would... you could put an answer like on there, this would be her first job? First regular job that she would might have a chance of staying at then?
Well, the one she was at was, after she had graduated college, and she was there for roughly 6 weeks and just decided, this feels not what I want to do. And, it was nothing negative in her leaving, mm-hmm. but I'm just concerned about the instability it might.
I think the non-legal answer would be put a vague statement on their various summer jobs. And then to see during the interview if you're questioned about those.
Okay.
But you want to make a first good impression on the application, which gets you the next interview stage. And they may or may not like an answer like that.
Right.
But I don't think... So the answer other than the six-week job would be none? No other employment?
No, she's had work through college. Throughout college, yeah.
But have there been various short-term jobs?
Yeah, they've all been related around working on campus and those type of things.
And would she list those on an application?
Probably so, yes.
Well, list what she wants to list and then put in other various short-term summer jobs. I mean, that might work.
Okay. All right. Thank you much, sir.
All right. Thanks. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. We've got 22 minutes left in the show. If you want to call, give us a call at 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open and be more than glad to help you. And if you would like a free estate planning poster sheet, I give these out at all the speaking engagements and so forth I do, by the way. But if you would like one for yourself, I'd be glad to mail you one. It's a large double-sided sheet, 5 estate planning articles on one side. And on the other side has all of our office locations with addresses and phone numbers of different office locations. We have 2 offices in Pinellas, 2 in Hillsboro, 2 in Pasco, 2 in Polk. We have an office in Jacksonville, Claremont, Leesburg, the Villages, Lakewood Ranch, one of our callers there. We have an office there, an office in Trinity, multiple offices to serve you. And if you have a legal question, we'd be more than glad to try to help. Let's go to Josephine in Clearwater.
So I have a lease that started in July 2019, and it goes on to June of 2020. Mm-hmm. However, since I moved in, there's been multiple problems, mold and mildew, electrical problems, plumbing problems, and I have told the landlord about it, and I've been there less than 2 months, going into 3 months.
And what's the term of your lease?
It's a year.
Okay.
And she's given me a letter, told me that I have to leave because I'm creating too much problems for her. Because I've asked her to be fixing all these different things, and on the lease it says that she rented it as is. So I want to know, and since she gave me the letter, I've been getting multiple problems on the property. Someone has hit my car 3 times. People have been coming in and out of the apartment and without my knowledge, and it's just, I've been harassed, basically. And I feel very unsafe there because...
Mm-hmm. Well, do you want to leave then? Is she going to penalize you anything? But she's the one breaking the lease.
So, exactly. I ask if she's going to compensate me for leaving. I paid beginning rent, ending rent, and a security deposit. Mm-hmm.
And what'd she say?
And she said that I may be able to get a security deposit if it depends on what condition I leave the place in.
Tell her to come over and inspect the property, and you want to know exactly what you're going to get before you leave.
She came. She looked at it. She said it's clean, it's neat, it's tidy, there's no damages. But she cannot tell me I'm going to get my deposit back.
Well, tell her you're not leaving until you get that answer. See, from the little bit I know in our short conversation, is I don't think she has the right to terminate the lease. So the lease would be, she doesn't have a legal action against you to terminate the lease. So if she doesn't have a legal right to terminate the lease, you're entitled to something, you know, maybe more than just the security deposit. So I would, and if she tried to evict you, I think she would lose and maybe have to pay your attorney fees. So you need to just stand in there and get what you want to leave. You want your security deposit back and maybe your last month's rent too. And if she doesn't tell you that you're entitled to that, then I wouldn't leave. I would, of course, you're living in a bad environment, which is not good. So you have to weigh all that and figure out what you would take to leave. You know, without a legal battle.
Right. And I've asked her multiple times if anyone is coming into the apartment, she would let me know ahead of time. And I would make the necessary arrangements to be there. But I noticed when I reviewed the lease again, that it says that anyone can come into the apartment at any time.
Yeah, she doesn't have a valid reason, I've heard, to terminate your lease. So you... try to get what you want before you leave. And if you need an attorney to get involved, or maybe a doctor having a statement that the mold is causing you to cough and so forth,
right.
You could get someone to come in and check the air and so forth, the breathing air in your property to see if there's mold present, things like that. I mean, you can do things to build a case against her. It just depends on how much money and time and effort you want to put in this. If you can get what you can get to move, then maybe that would be the easy way for you. But, you know, stick to your guns as long as you can.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. Let's go to Kevin in Madeira Beach.
Hi. Yes. I caught some kids about a couple weeks ago, early in the morning, unlocking car doors. And my Ring camera wound up catching the actual them opening the doors and stuff. My question is, I proceeded to go ahead with the charging, bringing charges against them, and they wound up being in the stolen car, so there's Grand Theft Auto there as well. I guess my question is, I'm a little hesitant on going forward with it because I how much of my information will they have on me? Like, I'm worried about a couple years down the line when he gets out of jail, mm-hmm. coming after me, kind of thing. Is there a lot of?
Yeah, well, I don't. They've caught him, and you're involved, and you could easily be a witness.
And, right.
And I don't think you can undo any of that. So I think once you, you know, they stole the car, and, you know, there are other people involved they might be more concerned about than you. I get emails all the time from these neighborhood watch things, or there's a website called Neighborhood you join, and then you can people ask questions about where to get things fixed and what attorneys to use, and so some of them lately have posted video of kids stealing things from cars, and kids doing other bad things to houses and so forth, and it's really a neat way to make people less interested in committing crimes because there's so much video out there they can get posted. And do you recognize this person? I saw him running, you know, my camera caught him, my security cameras at my house caught him running from a car when I turned the light on that he was trying to get into or something. You know, so it's really cool. I think you shouldn't worry about it too much and you should go ahead. And I'm sure you're going to be called as a witness, though.
Right. Yeah, they said I don't have to come to court. But I guess I assume my name will be somewhere on the whole.
Yeah, your name is already in the process, and that's not going to disappear, probably.
Okay, gotcha. That's what I was kind of concerned about. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right, Kevin. No problem. Thank you. Okay. Let's go to Gary in Jacksonville.
Good morning.
Hey, Gary.
I got a question about alimony. Me and my wife separated in 2006. We were separated a couple of years, and we're back together since last 10 or 12 years. But I'm still having to pay her. Is there any way I can petition the court on my own to get that reduced or stopped?
Is she agreeable to that?
No.
Well, and y'all are living together now again.
Yeah, we've been back together for the last 12, 14 years.
So if you petition the court to reduce or change your alimony based on some change of income in your life, how is she going to take that?
She won't like it.
And then she'll move out again?
No, I'm the one that moved out, and I moved back in.
Oh, I see.
And she just feels like, even though I'm back living, we're together, I take care of all the expenses. She thinks I should have to pay her alimony.
And how much is the alimony?
$1,000 a month, $500 yeah. every 2 weeks.
Well, you do have to pay her the alimony until you petition the court to have it modified, and you'd have to have a good reason to modify it.
To the point, I'd like to retire, but I'm not going to be able to as long as I'm paying her that amount of money.
And you've discussed that with her, and she's still holding to her guns that you were required to pay her alimony?
Yes.
Has your income circumstances changed?
No.
So, you know, without a change of circumstances, all right, so would your circumstances would change when you retire, though, right?
Yes.
Well, I would talk to a family law attorney and ask them, when you retire, we'll have him look at your whole picture. When you retire, what would the probability of success be of reducing the alimony based on the new income level you'll be at when you retire?
Okay.
And then see what the attorney tells you on that.
Okay. But even though we're back together, that wouldn't have any varies on the circumstances.
Well, it might, but I'm going to guess what she would say. She's going to say, well, he moved back in. He's not paying me rent. He is covering expenses. The expenses that he is paying would be a normal rent anyway.
Yes.
So, I mean, that would be her argument, I would guess.
Right. Probably would.
Yep. So, I don't know how you would counter that. So, you know.
Just like a family law attorney would handle that.
Yeah, I would have a family law attorney look at you. Do you know what your projected income would be when you retire as opposed to what it is now?
When I retire, it'll probably be around $52,000 to $54,000 a year.
Okay. So, and whatever it is now, you compare that versus the difference and ask the attorney if that would be, and the attorney would look at your alimony divorce agreement and tell you what the probability is of getting the alimony reduced because you retired and have less income.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate the information.
All right, Gary. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Have a blessing.
You too. All right. We have about 10 minutes left in the show. We have open lines now if you want to call into the show at 877-943-9673. There's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Be more than glad to help you. If you would like a speaker to come to your group, or you would like our free estate planning poster sheet, or you'd like to make an appointment, let me give you the contact information to do any one or all of those things. So our toll-free office number for you to call the office, you ask for a poster sheet, want more information about having a speaker for your group, or just want to have an appointment to review documents, the toll-free number is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. If you have... want to email me a request, I need your name and address at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe at attypip.com. And if you'd like to text me, it's 727-667-3967. That's 727-667-3967. If, okay, so again, we have about 7 minutes left in the show. And if you'd like to call, you have a toll-free number to call the radio show at 877-943-9673. So you're broadcasting today on several, we're broadcasting live, of course. We're also video, if you wanted to watch the show today, or go to WeBeam TV. They have a whole series of shows posted there on their network of television shows, Ask an Attorney. You could go to a previous show a little bit after the show. You can even see this one if you wanted to. Also, we have an app on iPhones, just Attorney Pip app, or Ask an Attorney app. It's an Ask an Attorney app. And we have a bunch of multiple past shows on the app. And today's show will be on that shortly after the show as well. It's just Ask an Attorney on your iPhone app. It's a free download app. We are filming live on Facebook, like we do. We do that every other week. And you can go to our law, you can Ask an Attorney page, our Law Offices of Joseph Pippin page, for more information about the firm, and follow us or connect with us, and we post. What we do is the video content that we're doing today on WeBeam TV, we slice that up during the week and slice out individual questions that people have asked me, and then we post those so people have a lot of information about legal issues. So if you want to check that out on Facebook, it's just Ask an Attorney. There's an Ask an Attorney page, and there's a Law Offices of Joseph Pippin page. We're also active on LinkedIn. If you've called the show, who knows? We might have your voice on one of our questions on LinkedIn or Facebook. And we're also streaming live today on Instagram. And we have a YouTube channel. And we have lots of stuff going on with the video, with the content of the radio show, Ask an Attorney, All About Florida Law. Again, we have time for maybe one more caller at 877. Phone lines are open, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. If you would like to know more about Living Trust, that poster sheet is a good resource for you. It has all about wills and trust in comparison. It has a little trust diagram. One of our attorneys does nothing but Medicaid and VA planning. And we gave out one of our books at the vets in at the American Legion presentation that I gave. We gave a free book to the person who had served the longest in the military. But we have a book on VA planning for Florida residents. If you're interested in that, you could also contact our office. Avoiding probate is a big issue. One of my clients just had this week asked about asset protection. Florida has very good statutes on asset protection. Your home is protected. Your home is a creditor-free asset. Your retirement accounts are asset protected in Florida. Your Social Security payment, any disability payments are protected from creditors in Florida. There are a lot of assets that you have or can be moved into to protect them in Florida. So let's go to Eric in Tampa. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Joe. You there?
I am.
Okay. Question for you. In regards to a trust, older parents are moving to North Carolina. If they put their property and their vehicles into a trust to avoid probate, do the titles of those vehicles and does the deed to the property, do those all have to be changed into the name of the trust?
Well, vehicles generally don't go in a trust.
Okay.
Real estate, if they move to North Carolina, they're going to sell their Florida home?
Yes.
Okay, so when they buy a new home, so they could create a trust in Florida if they wanted to. The Florida home can go into the trust. When they sell it, it comes out of the trust. They can put their checking, savings, money, market accounts, things like that into the trust. When they move to North Carolina, they can buy their new property into the trust that's already created. As they open new accounts, if they do, with different banks or so forth in North Carolina, they can open those up in the name of the trust. So basically, a trust is a bucket, I call it. So you have the rest of your life to put things in and take things out. And there's no there's no restrictions on you as a owner of a trust of what you can do with the assets. You can take them out anytime you want, do whatever you want to with them. You can put assets in anytime you want. There are no restrictions at all.
Now, they currently own a house in North Carolina. So I guess they probably would have to change the deed on that property to the trust.
Yeah, a North Carolina attorney can do the deed transferring that from themselves to themselves as trustees of the trust.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, whatever we can do to avoid probate and make a smooth transition when something happens to them. So that's awesome. I appreciate your information.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, and the reason I talked a little bit earlier, if you have multiple real estate properties in multiple states, and suppose you have a timeshare in North Carolina, and you have a deed for it. Well, guess what? When you die, that is part of your estate. You could put it in your trust to avoid it going through probate. You might have a legal process of having to go through probate because you own land in a different state. If it's in a trust, it doesn't. I had several cases this week where basically a person had named their spouse as a beneficiary, and there was no contingent beneficiary. So guess what? The owner of the policy died, and his spouse was the only beneficiary. So guess what? Now we have probate because there's no alternate beneficiary named on the insurance policy. The alternate beneficiary could have been another person, or it could have been multiple children, or it could have been a trust, but there was none. So now you have an asset owned in a deceased person with no beneficiary, even though there was one name, that person had died, so then effectively there was none. So a lot of little things like that need to be reviewed and discussed and talked about. It's all part of being a good steward of your assets and doing a good estate plan and causing your family less trouble. And time and money spent at the time of your death, they're going to be sad because you died anyway, and there's going to be extra work and hassle for them to take care of the estate because you didn't do the very best you could on your own estate planning while you're living. Again, if you'd like to contact our office, you have a toll-free office number.